welcome, sister. Greet, greet with a smile. Greet. Even if the person is not looking at your face, you try and look at his face. Look at her face. Look at her. Look at her. Say shalom. May we all be blessed this morning in Jesus' name. I give thanks to God for the wonderful things that God has been doing in my life and in the church of God. And I also want to use this medium briefly to say a very big thank you to my father in the Lord, our beloved pastor, for giving me the privilege to exhort us this morning, to take the Sunday school teaching this morning. What we enjoy here is not always like that in every other churches. So, Daddy, I say thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And may the Lord bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the person beside you and say, this morning, the Lord will surely bless you. Say it louder. Look at another neighbor and say, this morning, the Lord will bless you. And so shall it be in Jesus' name. We have a very short exhortation, a teaching before us this morning that God is going to use to touch somebody's life, to transform somebody's life, and that person is you. That person is you that I'm looking at. And I believe this, that before you go home, your life will never be the same in Jesus' mighty name. So, IT, let's see as we enter into the study briefly. That is it. Can we all echo this together? One, two, go. Let's say it again. The believers through metamorphosis. Let's say it again, please. The believers through metamorphosis. In bracket, we have what? Transformation. Your life will be transformed this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, yes. Let's look at the book of Romans, chapter 12, and from verse 1 to 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Now, the apostle is beseeching us. This one was written to the church, was written to you and I, by the mercies of God that ye present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Pronounce that word. Transform. That is the metamorphosis that we are looking at this morning. It's not a matter of grammar. Metamorphosis simply means transformation. So that's it. Okay? So, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and what? Acceptable and perfect will of God. And so the apostle is trying to tell us this morning that God is not only willing to save you, God is not only willing to give you the Holy Spirit, but God actually wants you to be transformed. God wants you to change. God wants you to be renewed from within. So let's see briefly how it is being done. Now, the Christian life is not merely about conversion. God is not just willing that you are just converted, but it's about what? Transformation. Many believers have experienced salvation, yet their lives, their thinkings and character remain what? Unchanged. We still have them. They have experienced salvation, they are saved, and yet they are not transformed. God's purpose is not only to save us from sin, but to transform us into the image of what? Of Christ. This is the main reason for which God gave us His Holy Ghost. This is the very reason of receiving the baptism of Holy Ghost, is for transformation. Transformation is the evidence of a genuine Christian life. Without transformation, Christianity becomes mere what? Can you echo that together? Can we say it? A mere religion. Without transformation, without you becoming new, renewed from within, all that you do, all your services becomes mere religion. The book of Romans chapter 8 and from verse 29, for whom he did foreknowledge of God, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. You see, when God saves you, he saves you by foreknowledge. And it's not just saving you and so that you can just be there and say, I am saved, and that is all. No, that is not all. Until you are conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. That is this. That is the goal. That is the purpose, that you may be transformed to the image of the Son of God. And until that is done, the work of salvation is yet to be completed in your life. Therefore, a believer's metamorphosis is God's process of changing a believer from the inside out until Christ is what? Can we read it together? Until Christ is what? Fully formed in him. Until Christ is formed in you. Until Christ is formed in me. The work of salvation is yet to be completed. We shall look at this study under the following headings. Number one, the meaning of a true believer's metamorphosis. Number two, how to experience a true metamorphosis. And number three, practical signs of a true metamorphosis in a believer. So let's look at it and see what is the meaning of a true believer's metamorphosis. When we say the believer's transformation or metamorphosis, what do we mean? What is the meaning? Let's see the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. But all with open face, beholding as a glass the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same words, into the same image, from glory to what? To glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. That is what God is after, that we will be changed into the image of Christ. The whole purpose of what we are trying to bring out this morning is that we may be formed, that Christ may be formed, that the image of Christ may be seen in our lives. Matthew 17 from verse 1 and verse 2. Matthew 17. And after 6 days, look at it. Look at it. After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into where? An high mountain apart, and was what? Before them. Say it, he was what? Transfigured before them. He changed all of a sudden. He entered into his glory. He was transfigured. He metamorphosized. He moved into the realm, into the glory. And his face did shine as the what? The sun. And his raiment was white as the light. All of a sudden. Romans chapter 12, I think we have read that from verse 1 to 2. Now, let's go. Let me see the slide. Now, the Greek origin of the word. The word transformed in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 comes from the Greek word metamorpho. So, which simply means to change form completely. So, when we say metamorpho, we mean you should change. There must be a change completely from within to undergo a total transformation. That is what metamorpho means. It also means an inward change that will reflect where? Outward. If the change does not come from within, every other thing you are doing outside will not last long. If that transformation is not from within, look. Transformation must come from within before we can see it without. If you are not changed from within, everything you are doing is just a moment of time. The real thing that is in you will show. It's just a moment of time. So it must come from within before it can be meaningful. This is where the English word metamorphosis comes from. Let's move on. This is where it comes from. So let's look at the definition. A believer's metamorphosis is therefore a continuous inward spiritual change. Look, it must be from within, inward spiritual change brought about by the Holy Spirit, who has the power to change human beings. Look, I cannot change anyone. No man can change another person. The only person that has the power to transform life is the Holy Spirit, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the only person that can change or transform a life, resulting in outward Christ-like character and lifestyle. Note, metamorphosis is not just behavior modification. It's not just because, okay, you are in this place now. And you have studied them. They don't wear earrings, so you are not wearing it. Oh, they don't wear this. Oh, you are not doing it. You are just being, it's not coming from within. You are just trying to be like them. See, no matter how you try to be like them, what is in you will come out. So metamorphosis or transformation is not about you trying to modify yourself so that you can fit in and be like them. So that they will not say that, sister, don't you see that we are, You are not trying to modify or external religion, but it is an internal transformation. Please take note. It is an internal, it must come from within, that produces visible change in words in a believer. The transformation must come from within before we can see it outside. If it does not come from within, every other thing you are doing is called religion. You are just being religious. You are just following your father to do, because in your father's church, they don't wear it, so you are not wearing it. Because you are just following your husband. In your husband's church, they don't do it. That's why you are not doing it. You are just trying to fit in. No, transformation is not like that. It must come from within. You are not doing it because the Bible says you should not do it, not because somebody says you should not do it. You are not doing it because you are taking the instruction from the Lord Jesus Christ. And that transformation that is from within will come into your life, into our life this morning in Jesus' name. And so we move on and see the second part of the study, how to experience a true metamorphosis. How do we experience a true transformation? How? There are two types of metamorphosis. I actually borrowed this from life science, biology, let me say, call it like that, from our elementary knowledge of science, that you will know that there are two types of what? Metamorphosis. We have the what? The complete and the what? Incomplete. That is, we have the true metamorphosis, true transformation, and we also have the what? Incomplete. That is, if something is true, one thing can only be true. Every other thing is what? Every other thing is what? Is fake, false. So let's see the first type of transformation, which is known as complete metamorphosis, true metamorphosis, true transformation, which involves four stages. True transformation involves four stages. Don't forget, the work of grace is how many? How many works of grace do we have? Bible study. How many works of grace do we have? Somebody said three. Another student. How many works of grace do we have? Kai, who should I call now? Hey, how many works of grace do we have? Three or four? Oh, yes, brother, please. How many works of grace do we have, brother? Please, quickly give him the mic. Brother, please raise your hand. Raise your hand, the brother there. You put down your hand again. All right, sisters, how many works of grace do we have? Thank you. Mommy, how many?
Four.
Can you mention them, please?
Justification.
One.
Sanctification.
Two.
Glorification.
Three. And then the fourth one.
Perfection.
You are getting it. Perfection. Perfection. You want to say perfection? Okay, anybody? Thank you. Thank you.
Can I, I don't know how to put it.
Okay.
Holy Ghost baptism.
You have said that. That is glorification.
Glorification.
Yes.
Sorry,
that is glorification. Thank you. Any other person? Thank you. Any other person? Okay. Okay. Ah. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. We actually have four. Four. It is four. We are not stopping at glorification. We are moving to perfection. Thank you, man. We are not stopping at only glorification. We are moving. It must be complete. See. Let's see it as the Lord will have it. Let's see it in the book of Mark chapter 4. And he said, look at the four works of grace here. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into where? Into where? And brought and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. Now let's look at the processes. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. First, justification. What is the first in? The blade. Justification. Then the words. The air, which is known as what? Sanctification. After that, the full corn in the, which is known as glorification. Now, the farmer has not yet. The farmer is looking at something. The farmer has not yet gone to do the harvest. He's there, coming every day, watering it, coming every day, weeding it. But now, look at verse 29. But when the words, let's read 29 together, everybody. Let's read it together. But when the fruit is what? Brought forth, immediately he put it in the sickle, because the harvest is. And so the fourth work is perfection. When the fruit is matured, we have to go from faith to faith, from glory to glory. The farmer is not just looking for the corn in the air, he's looking for the full fruit being formed. So that is what makes a complete metamorphosis. What makes you a complete believer, what makes you a true Christian, is that you have to undergo these four processes. If you don't undergo these four processes, your salvation is what? Incomplete. You don't stop at justification. You must move on and what? And add sanctification to your justification. You don't stop at sanctification. You must move on and add what? Glorification. You must make sure you receive the baptism of Holy Ghost. And when you have received the baptism of Holy Ghost, you don't stop there. No. You have to move on to where? You move on to what? Perfection, to the perfect image of who? Of Christ. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Then let's look at this, the second one, which is incomplete metamorphosis. And this involves how many stages? How many? The life cycle, that is three, is called incomplete. That means it is false. And this is the kind of experience that some people have. They have a type of information, transformation that is not balanced. You see? They have a type of justification. Their type of justification is not like the first type of justification. Because they did not do it according to the word of God, it is called a false what? Justification. Any justification that does not follow the Bible, the apostolic way, it is false. And another thing, they also have a kind of holiness, a kind of sanctification. the kind of sanctification that is not in accordance with the sanctification that is seen in the Bible is a false sanctification. And they also have their own type of Holy Ghost, what? They have their type of Holy Ghost baptism, which the only evidence you see to show that they have received the Holy Ghost is they can speak in tongue. They can speak in agege, oshodi. You know? You understand? It is fake type of transformation. Because from there, nothing can be perfected. They can never move to the perfect one because it is an incomplete transformation. Any type of transformation that does not follow the four steps that we have above is a fake or an incomplete or a false type of transformation. If that is what you are having this morning, you better move on and add words and go and look for the real thing. If you are here and you have not been baptized, better go and do it. If you are here and you are not living your life consecrated to God, better live a life that is worthy. If you are here and all you know is to speak in tongues, and you don't even know what you are saying, you better go and look for the real and the genuine baptism of Holy Ghost. If you are here and you are satisfied with that state of, because I can speak in tongue, you better move on to perfection. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. For it to be acceptable, it must be complete. Transformation does not happen automatically. It is step by step. It requires cooperation with God and begins with, let's look at, where does transformation begins or start from? Number one, it begins from where? Genuine baptism of who? Of Holy Ghost. New birth. Before you can have any meaningful transformation, it must begin with genuine baptism of Holy Ghost. Look. The book of John chapter 3 and verse, Jesus answered and said unto him, this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to one big religious person. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be what? Born again, he cannot see. Except you are transformed from within, you cannot see. You cannot see simply means you cannot understand the things of the world. Of the kingdom of God. He cannot see the kingdom except you are transformed, except you receive the baptism of Holy Ghost. You cannot understand the things of the words of the Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in who? In Christ, he is a what? A new creature from within. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become what? New. For you to become a new creature, it is by the same Spirit. The Spirit of Christ must come into you. It is that Spirit that enters you. For by one Spirit are we all what? Baptized into the body of Christ. Until you receive the baptism of Holy Ghost, you can never really experience what transformation is about. So, real transformation begins at the new birth. It begins at when you give your life to Christ. You cannot be transformed if you are not first what? Regenerated. If you are not born again, you cannot really be transformed. And this transformation that I'm talking about is not, do you want to give your life to Christ? Come outside here. Okay, say after me. Mm-mm. You are not born by saying after me. You are born by going through some processes that have been outlined in the scriptures. You are not born by confession. You are born by the Spirit of God coming inside of what? Of you. It's not by confession. No woman can give birth to a child by what? Confession. We have many women here. Do you give birth to a child by confession? You want to be pregnant? Okay, you are pregnant. Okay, say I am pregnant. Okay, you want to give birth? Okay, give birth. And then the baby will come forth. That is false. Nothing like that. The woman must undergo what? Processes. So there are processes to be born again. It's not by confession. And then what other thing? You must recognize the mercies of God. Romans chapter 12 verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of what? Of God. You must first, let me see the slide. You must first understand the mercies of God. You must recognize. Anyone who is truly born of God, we always appreciate the mercy of what? Of God. You will see that our daddy most of the time will say, when I remember where God took me from, when I remember where God is bringing me from, I always appreciate God. That is a heart that has been what? Transformed. A heart that is transformed, we always be gratitude. We always know that he was not transformed because of his righteousness. He was not transformed because he's doing something special from the other people. But it is by the mercies of what? Of God. It is not by pressure. Let's look at the third point. And then after that, you must present your body as what? A living sacrifice. That's the verse. This means total surrender. Your life, your action, your habits, and choices, unlike death sacrifice in the Old Testament, it must be continuous and daily. Daily. Brother, you must daily submit, present your body to the Lord. It must be continuous. Sister, every day of your life, you must daily submit your body as a living sacrifice unto God. If there is still any part of your body that you are dragging, you say, I will submit this part, but my fingers, I must paint them. That is, every part of your body is holy, but your fingers are not yet born again. Okay. Oh, you say, I will submit everything, but you cannot tell me not to put on those Jezebelian things, those things on my head. You cannot tell. Your whole body is presentable, but only your ears. You cannot present everything. You must present the whole of your body as what? Present everything as what? Living sacrifice before it can be acceptable unto God. Total surrender. And then number four, you must be what? Holy. These are the steps you take. After transformation, try, do everything to be holy. John chapter 17 and verse 19 says, and for their sake, I sanctify myself that I also might be sanctified through the truth. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is saying that for the sake of the disciples, he what? He sanctified himself. He consecrated himself. Now, for the sake of the Lord, you have to consecrate yourself. You have to set yourself apart from sin and worldly patterns. Live a life that reflects God's what? Nature. Every day, try, do everything to live a consecrated life. Do all you can to live a holy life. For the Lord Jesus Christ says, for their sake, I sanctify myself. The point number five, don't forget, the believers through metamorphosis. The believers through metamorphosis. Be acceptable and pleasing to God. Let your whole life be acceptable and pleasing unto the Lord. Your lifestyle, your holiness, and body presentation must align with God's will and righteousness, not just human approval. So there are some type of holiness that is just to please human being. Any type of holiness that is not in accordance with God's type of righteousness is not actually the holiness that is acceptable. It is equal to human holiness, self-righteousness. No. So, you must try and make sure that your holiness is in accordance with the holiness that is in the scriptures. It must involve obedience and intentional living. You are not forced to live like that. You are living it because it is intentional. It is coming from within you. You are not doing it because someone is forcing you. You are doing it, you are living your life because it is from within. And that is why we say transformation must first come from where? from within. If it does not come from within, every other thing is equal to just a mere religion. And let's see another thing. Render a reasonable service of worship unto the Lord. Serving God becomes conscious. When you are transformed, serving God becomes something you do. It becomes your spiritual act, not just rituals. You see, your whole life becomes an act of worship unto the Lord. The whole of your life, you are living it to please the Lord. The whole of your life, you are living it to worship the Lord. It becomes something that is coming from where? From within you. It's no longer rituals. It's no longer, I am doing it because others are also doing it. No. When you are really transformed, your life becomes an act of worship unto the Lord. And be not conformed to this world. That's the last stage. And that's the last charge that the apostle have to give. In the book of Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. And be not what? Conformed to this world. Before you can experience a true transformation, after you have received the baptism of Holy Ghost, you must not be conformed to this world. Let me see that scripture. Romans 12 and verse 2. Romans 12 and verse 2. Be yet transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Before you can receive this type of transformation, you must live a life that is what? You must render an acceptable and a reasonable service unto the Lord. And so, it says, this is the final charge before one can experience true transformation. There is often pressure to fit in the society that we are living today. There is always this saying that if you cannot beat them, you do what? If you cannot beat them, you do what? No, you don't have to join them. You don't have to join them. You don't have to do everything to fit in. In the process of joining them, many people have gone astray. You are not doing it to fit in. Even when it goes against godly values, many people are trying to fit in. That is why they are dressing the way they are dressing. You don't know that if I don't dress like that, I may lose my job. You want to fit in. You don't know that if I don't do it that way, I may lose my husband. My husband that loved me so much. He says, if I don't do it that way, if I don't dress that way, I may lose it. Don't do anything to please a man. Let the whole of your life be to please the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord will give us the grace to please him in everything that we do in Jesus' name. James chapter 4 and verse 4. Yea, what? Adulterers and what? Adulteresses. Know ye not that what? Friendship of the world is what? Enmity with God. Want to be a friend of what? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of who? Is the enemy of who? You can't just fit in. When the Lord Jesus comes into your life, when you receive the transformation, the Holy Ghost baptism that we are talking about, you cannot just want to fit in. It's not every group that you will belong to. It's not every association that you can now belong to. It's not everything now that you can wear, because you are intentionally living a life to please the Lord and not a man. So you don't try to become a friend of this world, or else you become an enemy of the Lord. This is the final charge before one can experience true transformation. There is often the pressure to fit in even when it is against godly values. You don't let the world define how you think. As some people, it is the world that defines how they think. You don't let the world to define your dress. You live how you live or how you make your decisions. God does by his word and spirit living in you. The way you dress, the way you live, the way you think. A genuine transformed believer, we always want to live his life to please the Lord. We always want to do things that pleases the Lord, because he's now living and it's not him that is living. It is now Christ that is what? Living in you. Let's see the next. The third part, practical signs of a true metamorphosis in a believer. What are the signs that shows that somebody has really been transformed? There can never, if you see a woman who is pregnant, you will see. It is something you will see openly. You will see. There are signs that shows that someone has been transformed. A transformed believer will show visible what? Evidence. Visible one. Number one, what is it? Christ-like character, which is known as the fruit of the words of the Spirit. If you are truly transformed from within, you will show Christ-like. You will be Christ-like in all that you do. Christ will be seen in your words. Christ will be seen in your actions. Christ will be seen in all, everything, every aspect of your life. You will remember Christ first. It is a sign that shows that you have been what? Transformed. The book of Galatians chapter 5, but the fruit of the Spirit, these are the behaviors. These are the characters you will bear. These are the fruits that you will show, that shows that you have been transformed. But the fruit of the Spirit is, number one, let's read it together, is what? Number two, number three, and number four, then gentleness, then godliness, goodness, okay? Then faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such, there is no words. These are the behaviors of Christ. You can't copy it. You cannot copy. You cannot love if Christ is not in you. It's just a moment. Anyone who is not genuinely transformed from within cannot have these things. You cannot have joy. You can only have happiness. And I think you know that joy is different from happiness. No, the Bible did not say happiness. The Bible says what? Joy. You have joy because the Lord is what? Is in you. Though you don't have an account, there's nothing in your account. Though not because somebody has given you something, but there is this joy that you have the hope of what? Of glory. Christ in you. The hope of what? Of glory. There is the joy that you have. You are like Christ-like. Everything, the whole of your life, people will want to come closer to you. What type of Christian do we have today that no one can come closer to you? What type of Christian do we have today that people cannot? People will say, if it is that church that woman is going to, like me, I can never follow her to that church. Is that Christ-like? Is that what God wants? Your life must preach a gospel. Your life must preach a message. It's not until you put on an apron to show that I am a Christian. Mm-mm. You don't need an apron. Your life will show. People will gently want to come closer. People will want to come closer to you and ask you, bro, which church did you attend? Which church do you normally go? Sister, which church do you normally go? One day, a neighbor that always passed through by our side, we are living in the same community, and this person just walked up to my wife and said, I have been seeing you all this while. That the way you look, it seems I suspect you must be a Christian. And then my wife smiled and said, yes, I am one. I am a Christian. Not because my wife preached. Listen, not because she was carrying Bible up and down to preach, but the woman saw something, and by what she has seen, she what? She drew closer to ask, I suspect you must be a what? A Christian. That is how we are supposed to be. People must be what? Attracted to us by our what? Behavior. The Lord will help us to develop these characters in Jesus' name. Let's see the second one that shows. Hatred for sin and love for what? Righteousness. If Christ is really in you, you must have a kind of hatred. Some people are doing things that is not in accordance with the scriptures, and they are fine. Nothing is moving in you. You are doing against the Bible, and nothing is working. Nothing is even telling you. I suspect that person's conscience is what? Is dead. If you do something wrong and nothing pricks you, nothing tells you that this thing you have said, this thing you have done is wrong, it means the conscience of that person is what? Is dead. You must have hatred for sin and love for what? For righteousness. Psalm 119 and verse 104. Through thy precept, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate what? Can we read it together? Therefore, I hate what? Every false way. If you have the Spirit of God, if you are truly transformed from within, you must hate false way. You must not change that signature in the office because you don't want to write the time. You must not follow them in your office to what? To steal that thing. You must not follow them. You must be separate. You must have hatred for sin. And number three, renew thinking and mindset. Your thinking must be what? Renewed. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Let's see Ephesians 4, 23. Ephesians 4, verse 23. Your thinking, your mindset must be renewed and be renewed into the spirit of your mind. Be renewed. Be renewed. Tell the person beside you, be renewed. Renewal is from within. When you receive the Spirit of Christ, you are renewed. Your thinkings become new. You begin to think like Christ. Before you take any action, you will ask, if Christ is in my shoe, what will he has done? If Christ is in my shoe, if it happened that Christ is here, will Christ react to this matter the same way I've reacted? You begin to think like what? Like Christ. That means you have been transformed from where? From within. You must have desire for God and spiritual things. Before you became a Christian, we don't desire things of God. But now that you have been transformed, now that you have experienced new transformation, you must show, you must desire for the things of the Spirit. Psalm 42 and verse 1. Psalm 42 and verse 1. As the heart, you know that animal, it's an animal, panted after the water brooks. It's panting, it's running, it's going there because that is the source of life. So panted my soul after thee, O God. That is a renewed person. A renewed person will always move. We always want to be closer. We always want to desire the things of God. It's not that they call you, sister, let us go and pray. Say, is it time for prayer? Can I watch this movie for a while? Your desire now is, you are always happy whenever they say, let's go to where? The house of what? Of God. You're always happy. Ephesians chapter, the book of Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2. Colossians 3 and verse 2. Set your affections on things above. A renewed person, a transformed believer, we always set his love, his desires on the things above, not on the things on this world, on this earth. If you are after, always after, how to acquire, how to get this, how to get that property. I have gotten one in Maiduguri. I have to have one in Nasarawa. I have to have another one in Lagos. Your heart, your heart, your heart. See, the day you will breathe the last, who is going to have all of those things? You will never remember who will share those things again. So your heart should be where you are going to. Your heart should be set on things above, where Christ is seated far, far above principalities and what? And powers. That should be where your heart is. That should be where your thinkings and your mind should be. Set your love, set your desires on the things above. And then another one is obedience to God's word. Obedience, obedience. The book of John chapter 14 and verse 5. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Okay, the next verse. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye know me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, I have seen him. That is The Lord Jesus Christ answering, Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it's sufficient for us. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet thou knowest me not? You see, that is a man who wants to know the Lord. And then the Lord is trying to tell him that if you have seen me, Philip, he that has seen me has seen the what? The Father. How seest thou then? Show us the Father. Let me see the slide. Let me see the slide. All right. Obedience to the word of the Lord. Transformation produces obedience, not excuses. A genuinely transformed man is a Christian. We always obey. He will not give excuses. Brother, why did you do this thing? I have a reason for doing that. Sister, why did you do this thing? I have a reason. I have my own reason. I have. No excuse. You are always, your desire is always to obey what? Is to always to obey the word of God. It is a sign that shows that you have been transformed, even though you are not at fault. But because of the word of God, you accept. You say yes to it, to fulfill all righteousness, to obey the word of God. So it is a sign that shows that you are born again, that you are transformed, is that you will not be giving excuses for everything. You will not be giving excuses. The Lord will give us true transformation this morning in Jesus' name. We come to conclusion. Believer's metamorphosis is not optional. So what we are talking about this morning, about metamorphosis or transformation, is not optional at all. It is the proof of true Christianity. What really shows that you are a Christian is that your life from within has been transformed. It is not optional. It is not something we negotiate. You don't negotiate whether to live for God or to live for Christ or to live for the world. No. Transformation is non-negotiable. It is not optional. It is something you must do continually. God is not satisfied with just saving you. He desires what? Changing you. He desires you to be conformed to the image of Christ. That is why he saved you. Transformation leads to knowing and walking in God's perfect words, will. If you are truly transformed, you will walk. You will what? You will do everything to please the Lord, to live to the perfect will of God. Let me see the final charge. Surrender completely. This is the final charge that the Lord is giving to every one of us, is to surrender completely. Renew your mind daily. How do you renew your mind? By studying the word of God. By living according to the word of God. Renew your mind daily. Walk in the spirit. Try to live by the leading of the Holy Ghost. Try to listen to the voice of the Holy Ghost, not the voices that are surrounding you. Walking in the spirit simply means walking according to the leading of the Lord Jesus Christ. Walking according to the spirit of God in you. Reject worldly conformity. Say no to everything that has to do with this world. Say no to that group. If joining that group is going to make you to compromise your faith, say no. Say no to that business. If doing that business is going to make you to compromise your faith, say no to that business. Not minding the amount of money that that business is going to fetch you. Say you are not going to lie. Even if everybody is calling this phone original phone. You know this phone is not original. And then a person wants to get it and is asking you, tell me, brother, is this thing really the real one? Is it the real one? But the other people, they are saying it is the real. It is the real because they want to sell. They want to make money. But you don't try to because you need money. And so don't conform. Say this thing is not the what? It's not the what? It's not the original. Say the truth. Even if it means You are not going to get that money that day. Say the truth. Stand for the truth. Don't conform. Don't do as others are doing, because you are now a new creature in who? In Christ. If there is no transformation, there is no true manifestation of Christ in who? In the believer. In the believer. If there is no transformation, it simply shows that that believer is not yet a Christian. And may the Lord help us and bless us in Jesus' name. And I think with this few points of mine, I've been able to convince you this morning, and not to confuse you, that after the baptism of Holy Ghost, you must move on to the perfect image of God. May the Lord bless us in Jesus' name. Thank you. Let's bow down our head for prayer. Tell God to really change me, Lord. Let me move on. Bow down your head and tell God to change you. Bow down your head and say, God, I want to really experience this true transformation. Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Tell Him, Father, change me from within. Change me from within.
Beautiful.
Change me from within.
Homes where the dewdrops of mercy and right shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. Hallelujah. We walk in the light, beautiful.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, our brother Tio. Very necessary in a period like this to remind us the word metamorphosis is synonymous to change, transformation. You must move. You must move. The Apostle Paul put it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18.
But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed.
We are changed into the same image.
From glory to glory.
From glory to glory.
Even as by the Spirit of the Lord.
Remember our destiny. Our destiny. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29.
For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed.
To what?
To the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among men.
What is our destiny? We are to conform to his image. We are destined to conform to his image. To conform to the image of Christ will involve a serious metamorphosis. Certainly. So you go back again and read that verse 18, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Then you will now see what is emphasizing there.
But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of
now
the Lord.
Now you have to look at his image first. Some of you look at the image of the pastor. Some of you look, if you your focus is in the image of your pastor, you will look like your pastor. But that is not our destiny.
Building as in the glass the glory of the Lord.
We are transformed.
Are changed into the same image.
Into the same image. From what?
From glory to glory.
By who?
Even as by the Spirit of the Lord.
That change is only effective or effected by the Spirit of the Lord. So that you understand Colossians 1:27. You want to move from glory to glory. What is the hope of glory?
To whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you.
Christ in you.
The hope of glory.
The only way you will move from glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord is a work of the Spirit. Is to allow Christ in you. It is when he comes in you that that metamorphosis begins to take place. And so every day you come to church, amen, this will be your prayer. I'm praising on the upward way. Can we take it? That's our prayer. New heights I am gaining every day. Higher ground, higher ground.